Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
Law regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to What Would Save the World. And okay, so let's talk a little bit. So today we're gonna figure out one of the biggest threats to left unity, with the exception of Marxist Scientologists, also known as Marxist-Leninist Maoists. We're gonna talk about how the more radical left seems to take issue with the supposedly, as according to them, more liberal, moderate part of the far left, the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America. And coincidentally, when I searched for the image for the flyer in this episode, I found a DSA image that was actually stood for Document Security Alliance on a page for MLM News, where I was like, and I was surprised to find out that it did not stand for Marxist, Leninist, Maoist, but multi-level marketing. So if my confusion doesn't tell you anything about my own accessibility, maybe you should listen to this show more and you'll understand why I've decided to invite DSA people on this show and figure out, like, hey, maybe I should like join the DSA and get over myself and being stop being such an anarchist brat. So we're going to find out what that's going to look like. We're here with Peter Soler.
Hello.
My fucking co-host.
You hear me good?
I fucking hear you. Do you guys hear him?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, we're doing this. I don't know. I think
I'm doing this. My headphones suck, so I can't hear myself.
Yeah, that's the worst mic. Anyway, let's stop talking. Let's stop talking about you. Okay, you're not the Messiah. All right. And then we're here with this dude Ryan, who I met at a bar, and when I was drunk, and he was like, "I'm in the DSA." I'm like, "You're in the DSA."
Can you hear? Is this good?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're good. I was like, you should come on my show, man. And then we're here with Jake Flores, who's like a comic who hates my school bus.
Yeah, that's my credit.
Why do you
hate the school bus?
He hates my fucking school bus. It's because he's jealous. No,
it's mostly because I'm jealous of the school bus.
Yeah, he just wants a school bus. He wants to record. So I'll give you real credit now. He has a podcast called Pod Damn America. He wants to record that from a school bus because who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And he's also been on Cumtown. And he's also...
I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
To the listener.
Okay. So like, before we really get into this, Cumtown is actually mad funny. I can't believe I just said
that. Oh my God, you said it on the airwaves.
Oh my God, I lost all my feminist never take it back. Cred. I got all my...
All right, that's it, I'm out.
I will not have this.
Okay,
as a male feminist, I'm so offended.
As a male feminist? No, but they're just, I don't know, they're just, it's just ridiculous.
It baffles me that people take that podcast seriously.
They're
because
like,
it's so over the top dumb, you know.
Yeah. So I don't even want to talk about that right now.
All right, let's get off.
Yeah, okay. So let's like ask a serious question from Mr. Soler over here, because I want to actually, like, instead of just like fucking around on this show where me and Peter make fun of everybody and call people either fantasy activists or real activists, like you know,
there's no such thing as a real activist, it's all fantasy.
No, I mean, just like, okay, so Just to give it into context for both of you, Ryan and Jake, like, I have been realizing that, like, I've done some real shit activist-wise, but in a lot of ways, I'm a fantasy anarchist. I'm like, we just need to get rid of the monetary system, and we need to figure out how to equalize our resources and figure out how to have a fuck the workers revolution. We have to have a contributive revolution where we just realize everybody's contributing enough as it is. Am I in the man? So can you just ask your questions?
Wait, so are you on a Bitcoin kind of vibe? Like,
am I in a Bitcoin
ending
vibe?
The monetary system?
No, she's like, more about like fairies and unicorns.
Yeah, no, I'm more like
cornunism.
Yeah, anti-GMO cornunism. No, I'm more on like a fucking, like, you guys know Venus Project? you know.
No.
Oh God, this is how I know. Okay, so I'm going to explain this, and then Peter, get out your fucking question.
I do, I have.
All right, so Venus Project, you guys ever heard of Jacques Fresco?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ever watch Zeitgeist 2?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God! So at the end,
there's three zeitgeists.
There's four.
Destroying their minds.
This is a documentary, right?
Yeah,
I've seen Zeitgeist. I didn't know there was a bunch of them.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. So it's
the monetary system and the Federal Reserve.
It's like very libertarian, but everybody knows libertarianism is a gateway drug to either the alt-right or socialism.
It's more like Lyndon LaRouche.
Don't cut me off.
Did you say the alt-right or what?
Socialism.
Oh.
Libertarianism is a gateway drug. It is.
Yeah. I mostly agree with you about the alt-right thing. I guess every once in a while somebody picks off and goes,
I know socialism. A fuck ton of libertarians who were libertarians at some point and then like met someone and had a conversation and became anarchists.
Actually, I'm talking out my ass. I was a teenage libertarian.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Jake.
Yeah.
So the Venus Project is this weird, like, futurista type shit where this guy, like, was like, going to have all these computers figure out how to have a resource-based economy. And I believe in, like, a resource-based economy, not necessarily with the computers. So I live in, like, a fantasy world because it's never going to happen because I realize that nobody's going to volunteer for that. I mean, maybe everybody in this room would.
Have you ever checked out Cooperation Jackson?
Cooperation Jackson?
Is that a rapper?
No, they're like a group of... they're a group in Jackson, Mississippi, and I just started reading a book of theirs called Jackson Rising about like their sort of program. They've got like a sort of systematic program to like change the economy of Jackson and then Mississippi and then like the Deep South and, you know, like overthrow global empire. But they're based on these like cooperative network of like workers cooperatives, cooperative farming, cooperative recycling and stuff.
Cool.
And like alternative banking that involves like time banking. So like
that's how they did that on the commune I lived on. They would do this thing where we'd work a certain number of hours and like whatever amount you worked was your hours. I mean,
yeah,
it's complicated.
I don't know much about
it. Josiah Warren type shit.
He's explaining.
You might be interested.
Yeah. What's it called?
Cooperation Jackson.
Everybody. Google Cooperation Jackson right now. I'm gonna tweet about it while Peter
and
asks this question.
And any aspiring rapper is listening right now. You better like get on that.
Yeah. That name. My name's Cooperation Jackson.
Yo, your black sense, mad offense.
John Stewart. Okay.
I have to lecture my dad on the regular about why his black scent is not okay.
So what?
Could have been a white rapper doing a black scent.
Okay, let's put it that way. That makes it, like, funny, though. Okay.
Okay, so we're talking about the DSA, and I want to know, what the fuck is the DSA? There's all this hubbub in the last 2 years about it. Like,
is it a Bernie Sanders cult, or what is it?
Yeah, it's a Bernie Sanders cult. I'm in a cult, and I haven't been to a meeting in 2 months because the cult is so effective at being a cult. I get accused all the time of being in this cult of personality, and like I talk to you fucking wacko activists, and I'm just like, you guys, I don't actually care that much. I'm being characterized as being someone who's overly enthusiastic, and I have to drag myself to try, you know, to do the basics. I like the DSA fine, but I think a lot of times when I talk to people that are more fringy and more anarchist, we live in a bus, you're super weird. I get accused of being like, you know, this is like you use the phrase left light. And the thing is, you called DSA left light. You also called Bernie left light. And here's the thing. I don't disagree. You're not wrong. I also have like way, way, way more radical ideas and views and things like that. I think that there shouldn't be prison and things like that, right? But I'm in the DSA because there's two axes at play here, right? There's a y-axis and an x-axis. And the two axes are things that are radically good, like ideas that I like, and things that are like actually happening and politically viable. And the center of those two axes, the farthest point, is like the fucking Bernie Sanders DSA shit. I don't actually think it's the best organization. It's just that the only one that's like real and not... political action happening out of a fucking school bus that you're trying to tell me is going to, like, who's going to affect the world more this year, the DSA or your bus, you know?
I mean, we can explain the bus a little later, but okay. We'll get into the bus later.
What's the structure? I know they have, like, a bunch of chapters. I know, like, a good number of DSA people with, like, views all over the place from, like, your standard, like,
okay,
Bernie Sandders
so
type
you're, like,
to, like,
umbrella
straight up
leftist.
Tankies are in the DSA.
Yeah, well, it's a big... Yeah. Yes, there are tankies, there are anarchists, there's all sorts of people. It's a big tent organization, and the point of it is that it's a big tent, because, and I'm like, you know, I'm not the best person to ask this stuff, but my best understanding of like what the DSA just is as a concept is that it was sort of like somebody, you know, came up with this concept of like, well, the two-party system in America is impossible to overturn. Like, Green Party stuff just isn't going to work. So what you can do is infiltrate the Democratic Party. That's the one that it looks like you can probably, because people are kind of, it historically is theoretically on the left, you know, even though it's whatever, it's a bunch of bullshit. So the idea is to have this huge tent full of people that, you know, yeah, it does have a million chapters. Each local chapter has like little working groups that you get into. If you, you know, you go to a general meeting and then you suddenly you hear someone talk about some issue that's like really, it speaks to you, you know, about like housing or gentrification or whatever. There's like a million things.
That sounds like Mac.
Sounds like everything we do.
Sounds like the fucking anarchist groups too. Everything's all working groups and
yeah, committees and shit.
It's definitely, there's a bit of like it was familiar to me, like when I kind of came into it. I wasn't heavily involved in Occupy, but like the sort of structure was familiar to me from Occupy. The working groups, the steering committees, they're like, not the steering committee so much, but the structure of it, the idea that there's this general meeting. And then if you really want to do something, you go out to find these working groups. And that's where most of the work gets done. So in that way, it's kind of similar to Occupy. And there's definitely like a lot of crossover of people who were involved in Occupy who are now organizing in DSA.
So, wow, we really haven't learned anything in the past 7 years. Okay.
No, I mean, I would say there's definitely like there's also a sense of like, you know, lessons having been learned from Occupy that like, you know, the sort of fetishizing the kind of carnival of it and the sort of process, it won't get you anywhere. Yeah. That you do have to like have sort of a vision, goals. If anything, that's the real tension now, is like, what is the vision? What are the goals? Because there's a lot, like you said, it's a multi-tendency organization. So for a lot of people, socialism means kind of very different things. So like you mentioned, you mentioned the realignment strategy. So that's going back to like the origins of DSA. Mark Harrington, who I believe was involved in Students for a Democratic Society in the 60s, came up with this strategy of like realigning the Democratic Party to the left. I think I don't know a ton about this. I know that like Walter Reuther was involved, who was the head of the UAW.
Okay.
So they were kind of working together on this strategy, and that kind of was DSA in the 80s. And in the 90s, still was kind of the Harringtonian approach of like trying to leverage like ballot lines and primaries to jerk the Democratic Party to the left in the hopes of like, I don't know, kind of building like a European style social democracy in the US. And that's still kind of like the, I guess, kind of old guard of DSA is like Harringtonians with that kind of vision. They're very into Bernie. Very into like healthcare is kind of a big goal, which is, you know, a lot of people across the organization are into healthcare, but their kind of particular vision.
That is the truth that like a lot of like radicals, people who even like turned fucked up, like we're talking about Che Guevara, were radicalized by seeing like how people didn't have healthcare. So that's, to me, that is like kind of like that's another gateway drug. You know, how about libertarianism being a gateway drug to like leftism, or it could be like, I feel like seeing that healthcare is not reaching everybody is super gateway drug.
That's why the whole Medicare for All Act and everything, the concept of universalizing healthcare and pushing it further to the left is such a big issue in the DSA. I think it's interesting because at first glance, it looks like, well, this is just an issue of the time for some reason. For some reason, this is happening now. But I think the reason it's so big is because healthcare is a really great way of explaining in really simple terms why socialism is good for people who are programmed to be against socialism. Like, it's the most basic thing you can put in someone's face and go, you're going to die, right? You don't want to die. This is a thing that uses this style of thinking that makes it better than your shitty capitalist way of doing this. And it's sort of like could, you know, massively activate a bunch of people. It becomes a big national movement or whatever. So that's why I think that that's like important, and it's good that the DSA is organizing on this massive level to get that sort of idea pushed, you know, and like push the Overton window a bit or whatever. And this is like, that's why I get into these scraps with people that are like, well,
fuck you, it's on the internet with your bus.
So what are the goals right now?
But wait. I just have to say the other option about caring about living and not dying is to come to the dark side and be a nihilist. Anyway,
let's all die at the age of 30. Okay.
I actually agree.
What are the goals right now. Like,
we have the healthcare.
You talked about the old people in the DSA, and I don't give a fuck about them. I like the young people.
They're old. They're selling socialist buttons in parks and trying to fuck underage girls. That's how that works.
I like the old people. I thought everyone hated the young people. Everybody hates the people that just wised up like a year ago. Have the dumb like communist pins and hats.
I go drinking with a lot of different lefties, and a bunch of them are in the DSA, and they all, it's like any organization, just people leave that space and then come to a bar and then just shit talk their respective organizations. That's my knowledge of the DSA. It's just like members shit talking about, like, oh my god, I can't believe he said that.
Yeah, there's a lot of dumb infighting.
A lot of ists and isms. He's like, oh, he's a fucking Kosciite and fucking stalagmite. I'm googling in the bar, like, who the fuck are these people?
What's his name? The like editor of Jacobin, Bhaskar Sankara. He had a post that got a bit of burn on the internet that was like kind of defining factions within DSA as like sort of soft Trotskyists and soft Maoists.
Making me wet right
sort of
here.
Like
soft Maoists.
And then like the olds, basically like the Harrington folks. Yeah. There's some soft truth to that. But the idea is basically term. Like there are two sort of broad there's a lot of tendencies within DSA, but right now there are sort of two broad camps.
So, but like, what are the goals of these camps? What are they trying to do come, like, I guess, like 2018 midterms? Is it all electoral strategy or like people doing like on the ground stuff too?
No, like, there's definitely on the ground. So like my main thing, we can talk about this to some extent. My main thing in DSA right now is, I've been helping start a service industry workers working group.
What? I've been wanting to get involved in like, it. We should talk after this.
Our main thing is
like, it is like on the ground work. Like we're focused on workplace organizing. We're focused on like getting people trained to do that, getting people in the mindset, getting people to understand that like we can only beat the boss in the political arena if we can beat them on the ground, on the front line. You know, we can't beat Amazon in the Senate if we can't beat them in the warehouse.
Yeah, I hear that. But that's like local organizing. Yeah, I mean, that's like small scale.
Right, so like at the same time, that's how you get the libertarian. I'm doing that. Like there are people who are like gung-ho about, you know, electoral politics too. And like I just straight up don't really know much about it. I don't have a great deal of faith in it. But I respect the people who are putting that work in, because just like I know that like building power outside of the political arena then like gives us more strength when we go into those political battles. I know, and we can say like, you know, from Bernie's campaign that like electoral campaigns can draw people into politics by just because you have a platform. It's not a solution. It's not like you don't just like get a candidate and have them say shit and people are all of a sudden socialists, but it does open up a bit of a space. Like you can't deny that Bernie's campaign did open up a certain like political
space.
Bernie did so much for the mainstream political conversation. I will give him that. I will also say fuck him for being a Zionist. And I will also say, like, just like fuck a lot of the Bernie guys. Like fuck a lot of them.
Okay,
like,
so
actually, just personally, I'm not even talking about Bernie himself.
You're not even talking about like the ones you dated, and that's why you have
to. What's really going on?
But actually, legitimately, I think it actually is super political how women feel about the men they've dated in political organizing and the way they act.
Yeah, of course.
Because, totally.
So what I'm saying is the kinds of people who were radicalized by Bernie, a lot of the time, to me, they are no different than the alt-right. Because to me, a socialist with bad feminism is just the alt-right.
I agree, talk on that for a second?
Okay.
Because there's this concept of like, oh, Bernie made me radical and all this stuff. And you're totally, I mean, you're right. There are like really terrible people that are probably not going to be involved in this in 6 months.
Or you just would never hear about it because nobody would believe us because Me Too didn't do shit. Anyway.
But the bare concept of having been sort of activated by like Bernie's campaign, I don't think is inherently a bad thing because
It's great. Whatever works.
I'm way more politically active than I was pre-Bernie. I still was like way before that. I have a history of like being involved in activism and interest in politics and stuff like that. But I'm from the South. And the thing that always killed my political inclinations was nihilism. Because after a while, if you live in Texas, I mean, you could beat your head against the government there all day. You're just not going to change it, right? So by having this big active movement that sort of shifted the Overton window, what it did to people like me was go, oh my God, okay, well, now that this is actually happening, I'm a jerk if I don't actually put my money where my mouth is and start getting involved, because, you know, I can't hide in nihilism anymore. And so I don't think that is a bad story. Like, I think that's good. Like, you should be, and we should also be happy that so many people were activated for that reason.
Course. I don't care what activated somebody, honestly. Like, I don't care what how you got.
I don't care if you showed up yesterday. Like, the whole point is to get more people.
I think 2016 was a big shifting of the Overton window type thing, but in like both directions.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, the like, scary part.
This is like this writer Malcolm Harris published this book last year called Kids These Days about like millennials and what the hell are millennials and all this shit. And his conclusion that he draws is that like the next generation after us is going to be very radical, but either left or right. As in, like, they're going to be the ones to, like, organize people, lead a revolution, or just, like, straight up be Nazis. So, like, that's kind of the danger we're at right now, is, like, which way...
Well, but...
I think the bigger danger, like, is that they won't care.
Yeah. I agree. But you were going to say something before.
Oh, well, to what you were saying, to what you were talking about how, like, you know, there's a political nature to sort of the violence or just shitty attitudes you can encounter in relationships. And I believe when we met, we were talking about this book Hammer and Hoe that was about communists organizing in Alabama in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Is that also a rapper?
What's it called? What's
Damn, there's
called?
So
Hammer,
many good
Hammer and Hoe.
Okay, so we got Hammer and Hoe.
I'm sorry.
And then what was the first one?
Cooperative Jackson.
Cooperation Jackson.
Cooperation Jackson.
Okay, we're gonna have a reading list for this show.
In Hammer and Hoe, there is a part where they talk about kind of gender politics in the Communist Party in the 30s in the South, and how a lot of these, they, you know, refer to it in a kind of unsavory way as the woman question, but, you know.
Oh my God, that sounds like some, like, fucking reptilian conspiracy.
Right.
On the internet.
Yeah. But, like, so they had a lot of, like a lot of female participation. And, you know, it was obviously, like, tempered by what you would expect of society in the 30s. But a lot of, like, the most militant leaders were women, and the men in the organization, a lot of them, like, took on, I'm blanking on, like, the specific phrase, but, like, they took it to mean, like, to be a real Marxist was to, like, embrace that, to, like, learn how to deal with that and to learn to overcome their, like, you know, prejudices and dismissive attitudes toward women. So I feel like that's true, that, like, you've got to walk the walk, and, like, people who can't do that in relationships and in social interactions, it usually, like, betrays something basic about, like, what they believe about people.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, if you suck on feminism, or you don't even call it feminism because it's, like, you know, with the white woman shit, like, I understand. But if you don't, like, care about women's issues or, like, queer issues, and you think you're, like, a radical fucker, you'll go fuck yourself. And I hope you don't come. but I just want to say real quick, I tweeted fuck, marry, kill Trotsky, Harrington, Mao, and somebody responded, kill them all, fuck communism, marry indigenous sovereignty. So, like, hell yeah, right there. Okay, so let's go back to that shit before. What were you talking about
goals?
About goals and Nazis?
Oh, the thing about the kids.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. I don't know. Like,
no, dead air.
Well, I want to go back to your question. I feel like we didn't really get to your question about, like, what the goals of DSA are.
Yeah, but then I could also phrase, what the hell is the goal of any of our organizations in terms of, like, we seem to just be repeating these same motions.
Leaders, no singular goals.
I was just like, oh, we're going to organize the workplace. So it's like, oh, we're gonna, so I think, like, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot with this whole reaction to the alt-right stuff, you know, as, like, it all became, like, Antifa, like, let's fight the Nazis. It's, oh shit, these fucking, all these weirdos, Mike Cernovich and all these motherfuckers. Oh, we got to fight all these people. It's like, we're on this, like, weird defensive track now where it's like, shit, like, in 2016, we kind of had momentum going that meant something, you know?
Is this what's happening? Are, like, the anarchists and, like, the crazy, I mean, there's anarchists in DSA, but, like, the people like us, the fringy fucks, are we the people who are going to go, like, are we, like, the protectors, and then is the DSA and, like, the other people are supposed to be building up while that's going on, so that when those people are defeated, we can actually build something?
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, you're really asking a huge question that is like in everyone's face all the time, and yet you never look directly at it, which is what is the end goal? Because we're talking about philosophies and, mm-hmm. you know, really the end goal of any of these philosophies is like sort of a utopia, and it looks different to a lot of us, but it also is a you know, it's like a parabola. Like it's a point we're never going to actually hit.
Nah. Fuck utopias, fuck metopias, weetopias.
Okay, I like that. What about fruitopias?
Fruitopias? What the fuck is that?
Oh, I'm older than you. I forgot. It's a really dumb fruit drink from the 90s that got in a lot of trouble for because it was made by disgusting hippies.
I thought it was just like queer paradise that I got excited.
That sounds better. But I guess when you're kind of wondering about like, you know, what is the point of all this stuff, it does kind of like beg some pretty huge questions, and like I don't know, I mean I don't know that a lot of this stuff is going to happen before our lifetimes are up.
Mm-hmm. I think it's got it,
you know. There is some stuff that I would like to see happen. There's some stuff that's in my direct interest, like the healthcare stuff.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, gonna can we die. At least get that is what I'm saying. Like, can we at least get some type of single payer system? Is yeah. that even possible?
Well, I think like, that is possible, UBI. And that's why I'm willing to water my politics down enough to go organize mm-hmm. with the DSA.
That's what they all write.
Why do you say that organizing with the DSA is watering down your politics?
You know, because it's inherently such a huge thing, it's going to have like a lowest common denominator to it. But that's fine. I mean, this is kind of a weird argument, because this is the argument some people will say, well, that's why you should just organize with the Democratic Party and like fuck that, you know. But you know, I mean, just inherently by nature of how big something like the DSA is, and it has to be that big, you're gonna have to go like, okay, you know, this isn't entirely about prison abolition or something mm-hmm. when you're in there working with them. And this is also, I'm talking a lot of like the electoral strategy thing. I mean, that's right. kind of what I get out of the DSA.
Okay. Side note is DSA did as like a national organization endorse a prison abolition. Like,
yeah, that was, I mean, that was a bad example, but I mean, there are things that are going to be like.
But I get what you mean. And like with electoral work, certainly that comes into play. But like, I feel like I organize within DSA without really watering down my politics at all, because it's like it's an area where I can assert my politics. I can, by organizing in the way that I believe in, I can sort of do a proof of concept with this politics, with the idea that like we need power on the front line. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Are we getting bogged down by like clickiness? So I noticed like what you're doing with like your subsection or caucus or whatever is very similar to what like the IWW and mm-hmm. this Leftcom group called Red Bloom are also mm-hmm. doing.
Yeah, like I want to
They have
you
like a campaign
shit.
With like the like brand workers and shit. It's like. Mm-hmm. So it's like, are people just like bogged down because they label themselves as like a certain tendency, and then they form a group, and then they end up just doing the same type of organizing everyone else is doing? So
yeah, like, there's definitely like an impulse toward factionalism, which is why like, so part of what we're doing in the group is like trying to make sure that we're reaching out to like everyone who's working on this, trying to find people like outside of like, you know, obviously most of the people in DSA are going to be white people working at like culturally white establishments that whose workforce maybe don't even have like much cultural access to like the, you know, the working class of New York City, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we're working class. I don't own property, I don't own my house, I don't own the business, but I have access to cultural institutions by virtue of who I am that, you know, people who've been here a lot longer than me don't. So that's trying to get into those communities, get into like Black communities, Latino communities in New York, while also reaching out to other kind of like maybe predominantly white left formations who are also interested in this work, trying to build a coalition to fight that impulse toward factionalism. Because obviously, yeah, it's not gotten anyone anywhere.
It's a like natural was telling me about byproduct fucking, of like socialist, you know, a million committees thing. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, someone was telling me last night that like ISO and Solidarity split off from the International Socialists in the 80s over like the Portuguese Revolution, you know, like their policy of the Portuguese Revolution drove argument. A split. Oh, God. Like, that's ridiculous. Oh, and yo, what did it get them?
What do you guys think of Workers World?
Yo, fuck Workers World. I'm sorry. Okay, so here's what I gotta say. If you're a radical or you're like an activist and you want to talk about how you want to suck Assad's dick, just get the fuck away from me.
Okay, true.
Okay. Oh, but here we go.
What I will say about Workers World and PSL, I don't think you're familiar with PSL.
No, no, no. Let him talk about
what I will
World.
Say about those Workers about World those, is better than those PSL. Groups is like I first of all, I'm not deeply familiar, so I don't want to like I know there's like a tendency in a lot of like kind of fringe left formations to dress up any like foreign dictator as anti-imperialist.
Yeah.
And you know, that's bullshit. But what those organizations do take seriously, probably by virtue of their like Leninist history, is anti-imperialism as a concept. And that's a missing piece in DSA right now for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we can't really talk about, if we talk, and this gets back to the question of like the broad goal, what is socialism? If we talk about socialism without talking about imperialism, we're talking about basically just expanding the bourgeois consumerist lifestyle to more people.
Yeah.
This was the big critique of Bernie.
I actually 1,000% agree with you. Like, yeah, I think that's why I like Workers' World. See, like, DSA, shush. DSA, like, very rarely shows up at actions that I think are important, personally. Like, I've rarely seen DSA at any anti-imperialist stuff. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's DSA. And then I've gone to things where DSA is chanting USA, USA. And I'm like, oh my God, kill me now. But, so... What I'm saying is, but I think that that's really important because also I'm also like super sketched out by Workers World because a lot of those people have like fake Twitters and like all these weird things like spreading lies about Syria and it's fucking scary. So like that, I would love to act. I think I'm going to join the DSA and lose a lot of friends. I'm going to come into the DSA and I'm going to try to push for the anti-imperialist thing because if we can just like figure out how to do that, like that would be really
great.
Can
we reclaim it?
The
problem with Workers' World and PSL is that they've tainted the term anti-imperialist.
No, and they haven't. The U.S. government tainted the term anti-imperialist because they've been working for decades to get people to think it's a joke. I mean, that's like COINTELPRO is real. You know, that's what they did to the Panthers.
True, but like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
actual links between like. Right-wing nationalist tendencies in Russia, Syria, India, with Workers World and PSL, as in like they've hosted anti-imperialist conferences with Alexander Dugin, who's the national Bolshevist guy. Like,
I love that that's even a name.
Seriously, I can't believe it's actually a fucking thing.
No,
but
for
it
sure.
Is.
I just don't think like PSL doesn't have the reach to taint the term anti-imperialism. You know what I mean? Most people don't know what PSL is. If you walk down like any block
yeah but
in
they
New
know
York
what
City, no
yeah
one's
but they know what
PSL
they
is.
Know what RT America is, which is pretty much the mouthpiece of PSL at this point.
I don't know what that is.
People really don't know what we're talking about. That's a good thing too because that means these things aren't damned and lost to the entire society.
Exactly. Like a lot of these terms are not set in stone because most people don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah,
that
means no one gets my comedy ever.
That's why we have to left-splain to people.
But so it's like, you know, we can like it's an active process of like looking at a group like PSL, looking at a group like Workers World and being like, you know, okay, like these folks take anti-imperialism seriously. DSA endorsed like the fucking bombing of Kosovo in the 90s. So what do we need to do to build a credible like anti-imperialist platform that will allow us to work with people in Workers World in PSL who do take this seriously, but who maybe, you know,
reject
look at
all
DSA
bomb,
like,
reject all bombings and interventions by all these countries. Like,
but then there's,
that's not the limit of imperialism. Like, yeah. I saw this cool movie the other night called Black Gold. Have you guys seen that?
No.
It's about like the coffee industry.
Never mind.
So it's about like the coffee industry in Ethiopia in particular. And there's a scene toward the end that really like summed up American empire to me, which was there was a shot of the whole movie focuses around how these coffee farmers get like bottom dollar for their coffee because the, I guess, international trade agreement that like regulated the price of coffee collapsed in 1989, and so prices have just been driven to the floor. They're getting like, you know, like 10 cents a kilo for a kilo bag of coffee. They're getting 10 cents. It's like backbreaking labor to harvest a kilo of coffee. So
is this coming from, sorry, what country is this?
This was in Ethiopia.
Okay.
This was in, I think the movie was made in 2005. And so there's a shot of, so they can barely afford food. Like they're having a meeting where they're talking about raising funds and a guy literally offers to sell his shirt to like raise some money to like buy new equipment. Like, so toward the end of the movie, there's a shot of aid, like food aid being offloaded in Djibouti, and specifically like wheat from the U.S. Getting stuffed into U.S. aid wheat bags. So the farmers in the U.S. who grew that wheat that the poverty in Ethiopia creates a market for are paid through a federal government subsidy, hundreds of times more than those farmers get to harvest their coffee, right? So the poverty that the market enforces on these people creates a market for U.S. wheat. That's what American imperialism is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Economics.
Yeah.
Economics.
It's about, you know, the bombing. Like, why did we bomb Iraq? Like, we didn't bomb Iraq for shits and giggles.
So we can take over their industries and their oil and exploit their workers.
Yeah.
So we could attempt to create a free market utopia, which didn't work.
Then again, why did we invade Grenada? Nutmeg?
I mean, it's all just about having... Grenadine. It's all about economic powers. It does come... I mean, that's why Israel's where it is.
Yeah.
I mean, for real. Like, that, I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole thing. But as a Jew, I know.
That's a whole thing because the U.S. supports it.
The U.S. support... I'm saying, but it is their Western base in the Middle East. It is... Yeah. So that's what it is. Comes down
and that's the thing you see with the right wing as well as with left wing critiques is they inverse the equation where it's like, Israel is controlling the U.S. when it's the other way around. And once they go down that path, it's like,
that's what
you got to start questioning, like, yo, you might be
a conspiracy theorist.
Just say it. Just say it. Say but Zionist so like, occupational government. Just say, okay, you're fucking Nazi. Okay.
So like, that's why we've got to take like imperialism like, and internationalism seriously.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, again, what we're talking about is like, if healthcare is the limit of our vision of socialism, then that's just a nicer American imperialism, right? If we're not talking about our comrades in China who are making all the shit, right? Our comrades in India, in Africa, in
and
Latin
how the
America
Chinese
who are growing
government
all the shit.
Works. This is what I'm getting at too. Chinese government works, and what China's doing in Africa is very similar to what Europe. This is why I don't like the Workers' World line. It's not anti-imperialism. It's just like it's bad when the U.S. does it, but when anyone else does it, it's okay. So like,
right, yeah.
And then you also...
My God, like, Russia and the U.S. have worked together for fucking years.
You also fucking have, like, people in Workers' World who, like, used to work for the U.N. And it's, like, shady, where it's, like, I'm not sure if you just are somebody who worked for the U.N. and, like, dropped out and, like, you know, got disillusioned with it, or, like, you still work for the U.N.
Hello, fellow kids.
You think Workers' World is an op?
Hilarious.
I think there are people in Workers' World who are ops. No, I think there are without a doubt there are people who have infiltrated Workers' World, and I see them regularly. Whatever. And I'm very sketched out by them.
Why would they bother?
Because they can fuck
they
with
the
radical activists and lead us in weird directions.
Yeah.
No, it's because what you're saying, because they are the only ones doing anti-imperialism. It sucks.
So it shuts down. Like I kind of like this. Okay, now I sound like a fucking conspiracy theorist, but I do believe that there are people who get sent by like parts of the government into small fringe political groups and get them to like do weird shit and get them to get people on lists and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I mean, that's well documented.
I believe I know who those people are in Workers' World.
It's just surprises, like with something as small as that, it surprises me that they would still be like dropping resources like NYPD or like the FBI. I don't know. No, but totally possible.
I read this book about the FBI and how they made a bunch of their people like go undercover to try to infiltrate Black Panthers and like Weather Underground and stuff like that, and a bunch of them just didn't come back.
Yeah, because they're like, this is cool.
Because it was more fun than being a cop, you know.
No, but my fucking that's like the bad side of my blood is like my fucking grandpa was in the FBI, and like if you look at any of those books and look up Philip Enlow, you will find like little things he told them to do. It's like fucking horrifying.
Wow.
But yeah, like I gotta undo my fucking grandfather's sin, you know.
I'm starting to understand you more and more.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you tend to people rebel against their elders. You know,
well, my other side is Jewish, and all I'm doing is rebelling against the Zionism. That's about the only thing I have to rebel against them. Otherwise, they're just not really political.
Yeah.
Which, you know. So, I think that we should sing a song about, we should sing a fucking song about left unity on this show right now. It's called Soros is Money Forever. When the activist foundation through the Jewish man's hands does run, he hath the greatest power everywhere beneath the sun. That's according to the weakest feeble libertarians, but George Soros makes us strong. Soros is money forever. Soros is money forever. Soros is money forever. Guess George Soros makes us strong. It is we who march the streets. Plan the actions that take place. Did the brainstorming, the workshop, endless piles of patches sown. Now we are in. Now we finally are employed by the man we say we fight, because George Soros makes us strong. Soros is money forever. Soros is money forever. Soros is money forever. Guess George Soros makes us strong. We do have one more verse. In our hands there is the funding from George Soros' hand of gold. Well, it's not based on gold, as libertarians have told. We must say fuck the gold and anything that can be sold. I guess George Soros can go get fucked. Fuck George Soros forever. Fuck George Soros forever. Fuck George Soros forever. It is us who makes us strong.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, so that turns out, so yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you don't know, George Soros funded 99% of the circumcisions in the United States. And that is why the real thing we should be unifying on is intactivism. We have to end male circumcision for the foreskin of our forefathers. And, you know, people are talking about healthcare and shit while our dicks are sick, man. All right. I'm sorry. I had to go there.
That kind of reminded me of something. I put a pin in earlier and I forgot about it. So you're talking about all these like Cernoviches and, you know, all these wacko alt-right
guys. Yeah, they're like, they came out of the fucking woodwork.
Yeah, like, and the concept of fighting them. And when I was thinking earlier about big picture stuff, you know, what's the point of all these political movements and stuff? Something occurred to me that people don't ask enough. People just assume, which is what is the point of comedy? Because a lot of like, I'm not that as active as I want to be in politics because I'm also working all the time at being a fucking comedian. Mm-hmm. But there is a role that gets played there. And I don't think it's what people think it is. I think all political factions suck at comedy because they all see it as a tool for propaganda. When it is
you're right.
It reminds me a lot of like Christian rock music. Like a lot of people want to kick in the door to your garage. Go, hey kids, you making something fun in here? What if it had a message about the thing that I wanted to have? You know, that's a lot of people jam their politics into comedy, and comedy really only works when it's, you know, it's this thing that doesn't have an end in sight like that. It's a thing that just, it is an end in itself or whatever. So a big part of what's going on online, a big part of like, you know, this weird, extremely online leftist DSA culture is like all this Chapo stuff and all this online dunking of alt-right people, you know, all this attacking people.
Yeah, but those people don't show up for anything.
Right.
I've never seen Chapo at anything ever.
I
know one of them is fairly involved in the Medicare for All stuff.
Which one's that?
I didn't mean to say the magic Amber. Word. Amber's been in the DSA for like 10 years.
Yeah, she's Amber's the one. She's the coolest one on there.
I don't know her.
We don't even include involved. Amber when we shit talk.
No, she actually is pretty fucking cool though. I've read a bunch of her shit.
I know her. I can tell you. But like, I didn't mean to say the buzzword and start a whole fucking argument.
But just you're thinking about what's the point of trolling the alt-right and these people?
Like, okay, so I guess this is tied up in the concept of like culture wars, because this is like, I mean, they have trolls too, and you have to kind of wonder like, well, how much of a role does this stuff play in political thought and with like getting people riled up and moving in different directions politically? You could say none. A lot of times people say, you know, you go to these DSA meetings and these people aren't even there. Like also we have a troll for a president. So like, clearly some of this stuff operates as propaganda in some way. I think if we had a better cultural understanding, that like jokes and morality are not the same thing, then we could isolate making fun of Cernovich and stuff into a like its own box and not like have that be your political party. Because I think that is dangerous. I mean, there are just tons of like Chapo freaks and stuff that are, you know, in circles politically right now that probably won't be in a few years when it falls out of fashion to be this political.
That online stuff just sucks people's energy too.
Yeah, it's a disease.
I mean, it does this to everyone. It's not a matter of whether you think you're doing something or not. That shit is designed to play a little trick on your brain where you feel like you've done something. If you click on the little notification button or you post something, your brain feels as though you have done something.
Yeah.
You've completed a task.
Dopamine.
And it releases some of the energy that might otherwise be put toward, you know, doing something.
Yeah. That's why I think comedy really needs to be... an idiotic thing that's for fun and releasing tension and not this idealized weapon.
It should be funny.
Yeah. And it never is, you know?
Yeah, it's funny sometimes.
No, I mean, comedy's great. I mean, we need to like a part of any movement. Like another cool thing from that Hammer and Hoe book was like how much the people would do stuff together. Like how big like artistic stuff was for their sort of social bond as a party and as like a as an organizing unit. That stuff's really important. It makes you like ultimately you have to trust people, and that's a big thing in like organizing in the workplace, right? No one's going to stick their neck out for you if you're just like a weirdo who walks in wearing a DSA pin and says like
that's who I am,
hey, you know, let's I've just joined, hey, how you doing, let's I just joined this socialist organization, so I think we should all be in a union. Like that doesn't mean anything to anyone.
Right.
But, you know, if you're taught, if you know people, if they trust you, if you care about their lives, then you can start to organize around the things that they actually give a shit about.
And those are like the threads of an actual culture.
Yeah, like how can we make sure you get the days off from work when you have your gigs? How can we how can we make sure that some of the money from this job actually helps us with our lives instead of making us like, you know, kind of starve? But
and this is where it comes back to materialism, to like, you know, real kind of Marxist shit is. If you tie from the very beginning, from the grassroots level, organizing to people's material lives, then you start to cultivate a vision of a different world. If you're talking to people about at work, not just about the schedule, but about like, why does the schedule matter to you? You've got a family, you play music, you're an actor, you like, you know, I'm in the service industry. Very few people work in the service industry because that's what they want to be doing.
It's terrible.
No one's working at McDonald's because that's what they want to do. And even at like bougier shit, like the bar I work at, like, you know, everyone does something else. So like knowing why people do those things, why they're doing the job that allows them to do this other thing raises the question of like, how could this job be organized in a way that better facilitates what you want it for? And then the same question can arise about society. Like, how can society be organized in a way that actually allows me to live a life I feel is meaningful and beautiful and like, you know, fulfilling and not just like a grind. But you can't do that by just giving people like categories that objectively are true, but they don't identify with, you know? And that's kind of the problem with some of the healthcare organizing is that, yes, everyone benefits from it. Everyone, I sure would love to not be like basically paying rent to a healthcare company. I'm sure for a lot of people, it's like a really dire need. But at the same time, there are more pressing needs that a lot of people feel. Rent, shit at work where it's like you're not getting paid right, your schedule's all over the place. Those things dominate people's lives in a more immediate way. And if we can't address those, there will be no credibility to build on for the healthcare fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yo, that makes sense. I think we should join the DSA, Peter.
Have a caucus.
We have a caucus.
Yeah, a friend just texted me this. And
is this
be like,
the Libertarian Socialist Caucus?
What is this?
It's cool.
Oh god, we got like.
I mean, it's basically anarchism.
Yeah, you let's know, go. Let's go. I'm just gonna come to.
What
DSA
do they do? Are they big in New York? What do they do?
There's some people in New York. They're a national organization. I can hook you up with someone who can give you a bit more of the info.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm not super well versed on their organizing.
Michael Colon. I already know him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We should just join the DSA and
you
just
talk to him about it.
Just always be like anti-imperialism. We should just sit in the corner and just like invite people to snort anti-imperialism with us. But okay, so before we end this show, I just have two questions. do we have solidarity with Jeremy Corbyn? Is he the new gay icon?
What? The new gay icon?
Yeah. He's the new gay icon.
So according to my friend, and some Action DSA people were singing solidarity with Corbyn. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, Jeremy Corbyn's the shit.
Really?
Yeah, he's tight.
Mm-hmm. But isn't he like a little imperialist weirdo?
No,
he's not. He's an
He's pretty legit.
He's way further left than Bernie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
He was straight up saying that, like, he was ashamed of Maduro's government because it went too far right after Chavez died. He's a huge Chavista type person.
Okay,
like,
then I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, sounds good. Sounds
Corbyn
good.
Is daddy. Corbyn's what I heard on the internet.
Leather daddy.
Okay, so my question is, how do we recruit libertarians if it's a gateway drug? So here's my idea. I just want to get, so before we end this, I just want to get y'all on board with my idea. Yo, Ryan, you look so funny right now.
I know, like the grimace.
But here's my idea. We're going to take Marx, right? And we're going to blank out everything that says it's by Marx. And we're going to have an Adam Smith meetup and discussion. Because most libertarians have never read Adam Smith. They've read like four quotes on the internet.
I mean, do libertarians even fuck with Adam Smith?
Yes, they do. Oh, they do. So hard. That's so like hard. Their, That's their daddy.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, we have an Adam Smith meetup and debate, and we have free copies of so-called Adam Smith, but they're all Marx.
It's all the Communist Manifesto.
And we just have the libertarians debating about communism, and we blank out like communism on every sheet and just change the name to something else so that they are like just...
Libertarians, there's so few of them.
No, there's not.
They're really loud.
There are a lot of people that don't even know that what they're describing is libertarianism. There's a lot
it's
of people
so
in this country
prevalent.
That believe yeah, yeah. the hoodoo of the free market
right,
and all that shit. They
right.
just don't even know so what they're big. Saying is libertarianism.
And I don't know about trying to radicalize the libertarians.
We're not doing that.
I want to radicalize the libertarians. I want to radicalize them and make them read Karl Marx and tell them it's Adam Smith.
I mean, first you got to get them in a room and agree to like do something with three other people.
Yeah, you're right.
I do not volunteer for this. You're violating my nap.
Am I being detained?
Have you watched the like videos of the Libertarian Party convention?
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, the mullets.
Fucking hilarious.
The driver's license.
Like the debates
the
among
driver's
the candidates.
Like,
yeah.
Do you think people need a license to drive a car? What's next? A license to make toast in your old goddamn toaster?
And everybody goes, woo! All right, okay, so guys, everybody, we have like maybe like a couple minutes left of this show. And what I think we should do is we should play a Henry Black song to close it out Henry Black is my friend and we were drinking at a bar and that's how I met Ryan, who has told us so many beautiful things about the DSA and maybe converted me. Please still be my friend. Okay, so does anybody have like any last words?
Are we about to die?
Yeah.
Is that like existential or more like in this moment?
No, you just asked me if I have any last words.
We never got to the bus thing. I'm making a documentary about a trans queer performance artist and we're going to travel across the Bible Belt and we're going to kind of like disrupt a lot of church things, but we're also going to try to talk to like young queer kids in those areas.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So that's like not necessarily like going to save anything, but it is going to help those queer kids to meet like adult queer people who like think that it's okay to be queer and didn't die and like didn't and like, you know, have like lives and like partners and things like that.
Well, that rules. I'm totally for that. I think the reason I made fun of your bus before is because it was put on a dichotomy of either the bus or the DSA, and you can just do both.
You brought up the bus. Okay. So you said, are we going to die? No, we dealt with the bus. It happened. Okay. Ryan, do you have any last words for me or for us or people listening?
I don't know. I thought I was going to get yelled at a lot more.
Really? You thought we were going to be mean?
No, but I thought it was going to,
I thought we're going into crossfire.
No, we're nice.
Yeah. No,
we're open. We hate ourselves more than we hate anybody else.
I don't know. I wish I had something cool
to
read.
Do you feel good? Are you like glad?
Yeah,
that
was
like,
fun.
Oh my God, you thought we were going to be mean?
I thought it was going to, like, I think
I mean,
you said, like,
the thing, a lot of
people
shit
are
on
be,
the
like,
far
angry
left.
Anarchists.
We are angry. but at ourselves. Okay.
Left is that like,
Peter, quick.
People think the DSA is all just liberal bullshit and like da 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 da, and it doesn't mean anything.
But
it's so sectarian.
True. But it's not
so
true.
We brought you here just to like give your peace, you know?
Yeah, that's
we
what we did. Yeah, yeah. All right. But, so thank you, everybody, for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Next week, I don't even know what we're doing next week. We'll figure it out. So this is Weeping Willow by Henry Black. Woo. And thank you, Jake Flores, for being here. Thank you, Ryan, / person I met at a bar. And Peter.
I'm Sullivan. At Feral Jokes on everything on the internet.
Oh, wait. Ask me to pitch Pod Damn America.
Pod Damn America at Feral Jokes. That's me, Jake Flores. That's it.
Okay, join DSA.
Join DSA.
Nice weeping willow, darling, do you cry for me? So I'll take you on my shoulder, 'cause that's where you wanna be. She said I don't need no plans. Yes, together we will fit. And then pointing to my cigarette, she says I gotta quit. But baby, why's it gotta be that way? When everything you have, you either change or throw away. Well, I don't need a savior, there's nothing you could do. I don't ask a weeping willow why she sings the blues. Now I ask the private prisons why they pay the county guard to follow on the chain gang that they pay in metal bars. Well, there's only this much freedom, they say, and they pissed it all away. They should find a better lawyer or be born a different race. But mama, why's it gotta be that way? When everything is crashing, you just shy away. Well, they don't need a savior, there's nothing we could do. I don't ask them on the chain gang why they sing the blues. I ask the revolution why they think so much of me. I'm just one doggone person, I can't change what I can't see. But maybe this is freedom, to choose to live in shade. My vote won't make a difference, but I'll march in your parade.
Oh shit, everybody. Well, that song ended early. We're all gonna go get really, really high somewhere. I'm not gonna tell you where, because I don't want you to fucking dox us. You bitches out there, y'all just want to motherfucking dox me? Well, guess what? I had a really fucking hard time opening up bank accounts because I definitely know I pay taxes from an anarchist commune. God fucking damn it, you guys should listen to Tom Tenney. Wait, is it, do I have another minute? Oh, God. Why does this always happen to me? Oh, my God. So, everybody, I own a school bus, and I'm going to start a school bus revolution because I am the anarchist Miss Frizzle, and I got blue hair. And I'm a fucking dyke, and I'm a hirsute. I'm growing in my beard, and I'm gonna be Bluebeard, and I'm gonna sing opera on the subways, and you should give me money for it so I don't die. All right, Tom Tenney's coming up. We're gonna play a little bit more Henry Black because I've ranted long enough. But maybe not. Okay, if you want to be on the show, email me at Took, T-O-O-K, at Radio Free Brooklyn. Peter, what's the show we're doing next week? What are we gonna talk about next week?
Fleeting moments are enough.
That's all we talk about, fucking Tangies. I think, we should talk about. Yeah, we miss every show. Every show. We should do a show about Marxist astrology. Yeah, communism is in my fourth house, and Che Guevara.